This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Before I get into what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and his future, Shep and Hickey, question.
Let's hear it.
Do you have to watch Game 7s to consider yourself a sports fan?
Ooh, I would say yes.
Like, there's a lot of people here where I'm from, there's hockey fans, but there's not a lot of hockey fans. Game 7 was the other night, remember?
Yep.
And I asked, and it was actually close. It was like 54% said yes, which I thought it was going to be huge. It's Game 7. There's the moment, hockey, the playoff hockey. I think there's a lot of people who say they like playoff hockey to say they like playoff hockey, by the way. But it's a Game 7 in one of the four major sports in the United States. Like, you don't get a Game 7 often. You got to watch it, right? Right? Even if you're not a big hockey fan. Don't you got to watch it?
100%. I mean, like I said, this is it. You will see a champion tonight no matter what. Tight games, usually for the most part, especially in hockey, it's a must-watch.
Shep, your thoughts?
Well, Hickey, it's an interesting point. I mean, Ken, I think in hockey, there's not that romance, that real connection you have with them because they're not marketed well. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, I disagree. I think they're marketed well. I just don't know how big their share is with the market share across the country, especially because they're either the biggest thing going in Canadian cities or they are the third or fourth biggest entity in most of the cities that they play in the United States.
Okay, Ken, outside of maybe Sid Crosby, and this is no knock on these cities, if you're walking in Boise, Idaho or Birmingham, Alabama, how many of them are going to recognize Patrick Kane, Patrick
Marleau? Very few. Yeah, very, very few.
Exactly. But everyone knows.
But I think part of that's natural. Look at Boston for this amount. Who's the best Boston Bruin?
Is it the guy with the jaw?
I don't know. I'm taking a guess. I'm not trying to be disrespectful whatsoever. But let me think about this. How many people across the country know who Tom Brady is? Everybody. That's football.
Exactly.
The Celtics, whether you love him or hate him, you certainly know who Kyrie Irving is. You know what Brad Stevens looks like. You know what a lot of the Celtics look like. The Celtics are an historic franchise. You look at what the Boston Red Sox are, historic franchise. Everybody knows what Dustin Pedroia looks like. Everybody knows. I think that a lot of people know what Mookie Betts looks like. A lot of people know what those guys look like and who those guys are. With the Bruins, yeah, it's obviously an historic franchise. But if it's in a big sports city and you're still fourth, how much is left? Are you really supposed to jump over those guys when you're still the fourth most important sport? Maybe I know that there's bigger Bruins fans than there are other ones in the city here and there, but if it's really the fourth biggest sport in the United States, how could I say that they're not marketed well when they try? I think they try to market them the best they can. It's just, hey, hockey's not as popular as what some of the other sports are here.
I mean, there's no Chris Pauls in hockey where you're seeing him 10 times a day on commercials, right?
Yeah. Man, when's the last time you saw a hockey guy on a commercial? Probably Sid Crosby. Has Ovechkin been in commercials, national commercials? Maybe.
I mean,
who else?
When's the last
Wayne Gretzky back in the day?
Wayne Gretzky to me.
He was a superstar.
Wayne Gretzky is across the medium,
yes,
internationally known. You can't say that about any hockey player playing today.
I think so. I think that Sid Crosby's maybe the closest. But I still think just for I don't want to get past the entire question and go past the question. The question is, if you consider yourself a hardcore sports fan, if you're a person who listens to sports talk radio, who does fantasy sports, maybe daily betting or whatever it is, you own ESPN Plus, you got all the stuff, you consider yourself a sports fan. Do you got to watch a Game 7 for the moment, even if you're not the biggest hockey fan in the world? I still think that you probably do.
If you consider yourself a sports fan, yes.
Yes. Like, it's not just like, yes, this is my occupation, and I got to talk about it, even though I will always admit to people I don't know much about hockey. I try to watch it. It's not big where I'm at. I try to watch it. I respect it. I respect what they go through. The guy who broke his freaking jaw and came back, my God. I try to respect it all the best I can. There's absolutely no disrespect. I'm not anti-hockey guy. Let me put all those eraser phrases out there. But I don't watch every single regular season hockey game. They play it on ice. I've never known how to skate. So personally, there's not that much there for me. But Game 7 the other night, Blues, Bruins, was there. Jim from the office doing the video with Roy up in the suite. Even though I can't stand Jim and Pam, I was there. Boys, I was in on it. Wanted to see Game 7. I thought the atmosphere was incredible. And honestly, the entire Stanley Cup final where you had Brett Hull all drunk the day before or a couple days before, I thought that was great. And then you go to the final in the TD Garden. They had the lights out, then the strobes were there. They're doing that circle thing that they do in the pregame warm-ups. You know what I'm talking about. Which one of you is a big hockey fan? Shep, Hick, which one?
That would be me, Ryan Hick.
What are they doing? Is this the pregame skate? What are they doing?
Well, yeah, when the team intros get taken out, they skate in a little circle, get warmed up.
That's getting warm up? That's
it's
what
like
they
the
do?
It's like the layup lines in the NBA.
Okay, that's perfect. That's the perfect equivalent. Like, that was awesome. It just felt electric. Then you hear Doc Emrick, who's by far, you could say what you want to about football, baseball, basketball. I think he's the best play-by-play guy in any business. I think he's so incredible. His voice is there. The way he pitches up to everything, the way that he sends it out to everything, he is just fantastic. The verbiage that he uses, the words that he uses to describe passes, movement, things like that, he's just so great in his description of what he does, and he's nowhere near overbearing. I mean, he is an artist of what he does. It can get no better. How do you miss Game 7 when you go, I'm a big sports fan, but hockey sucks? I don't think you can do that. 855-212-4CBS. You both agree with me, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, at least for myself, Shep, I think.
Shep?
Yeah, absolutely, I would.
I could not believe the reaction that some people were giving me. I think some people were trying to get a rise out of it. I'm not the biggest hockey fan in the world. And when we have Schwartz on, Schwartz gives us the hockey update because he knows hockey really, really well and could talk hockey, and I let him talk hockey because he's the one who could give the wisdom to those hockey fans out there, and he can debate the hockey stuff with them. But man, how could you just say, I'm a big sports fan, but looks like the Biggest Loser, I'm going to watch that tonight instead of Game 7. I mean, what else was on? Was The Bachelor on? What was on TV the other night for Game 7, Wednesday night? What was on television that night? Do we know?
No clue.
Primetime American television. That thing, what, the puck drop when? 8 o'clock? You're a sports fan. How do you watch something else? Or just after 8 o'clock? They're singing the national anthem. You had that guy standing out there. You walk out on the carpet. Everybody's standing for it. Everybody's having a good time. How do you miss the pomp and circumstance of a Game 7? I can't believe that. Like, I'm not the biggest hockey fan. If I were going to do my product ladder, football is the biggest for me. But football, you play one game and you're out. There is no Game 7. Major League Baseball, yes, at times I get a little bit frustrated because what people say they hate about baseball during the regular season, they seem to love it during the postseason. That's always interesting to me. You watch with anticipation instead of quote-unquote boredom during the postseason. But obviously you're there for a Game 7 in postseason baseball. For all those reasons that I just brought up for the same thing as hockey, basketball, Game 7, you're there. Game 6, people were there. Hockey, Game 7, I don't know if you could say you're a true sports fan if you're not going to watch a Game 7 in the big sports. If there's a cricket Game 7 across the world, okay, I can understand. If soccer played series across the country, across the world, I should say, if it was in another part of the world at 2 a.m., I could understand. All right, fine. Primetime television. You're a sports fan. 8 p.m., Game 7. Someone's going to hoist the coolest championship trophy out of all the professional sports trophies, college trophies, whatever they are. It's the best trophy there is. It's handled by men in white gloves. It comes in a case. And then once you own it, you can do whatever it is. So sacred that people don't even want to talk about the thing. You don't want to see that? You got to be kidding me. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, Kawhi can't leave a winner. Even LeBron didn't do it. And hey, you might not have cheered as much as a small amount of Raptors fans did, but don't tell me. If you weren't pulling for Golden State, you weren't even a little bit excited Kevin Durant went down. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Make no mistake, I want Kawhi to stay, and I think the rest of the world does too. 855-212-4CBS. That coming up after Zane in Colorado Springs. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Zane.
Talk about the hockey discussion?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, at a young age, it just created a little discontent for the sport with when the lockout happened and the fact that you have to pay over $2,000 to play in your school league. So kind of distanced myself from it back then, but I love going to live games more than probably any other sport. But
so how old are you, Zane?
26.
26. All right. So you're still kind of in the same age group, a little bit older than you. Like if you were a basketball fan, like how much is an AAU league now? Like travel basketball has to be expensive.
Yeah, up there.
Travel baseball, because everybody has that. Go ahead. Yeah.
For the school, it's just shoes, you know. And if you want to play in a park, it's the cost of a ball.
True. You can't really go find a pond and go play. Right. That's, yeah, I can understand that. Like, but I just feel like the moment, if I'm not going to get in on that, why ain't I going to get in on that? Like, game 7 is game 7. I'm not asking you to watch it on March 3rd. I'm not even asking you to watch the Winners Classic. It's game 7. The trophy's going to come out. This is the biggest moment.
I kick myself for missing it, but at the same time, it's like the day of the game. It's not even crossing my mind.
So what did you watch instead? What did you watch on? Do you remember on Wednesday night? What did you see?
I was out working, so I was just listening.
Oh, what a convenient excuse. You were working.
Right.
Damn it. All right, Zane, thank you very much for the call, my friend. I can't say anything to the American working man, or for the Canadian working man, for that matter. If you were working, you were working. I can't understand if you were sitting at home, and this is coming from me, I guess I'd be a Blue Jackets fan, kinda. I can't understand where I'd be sitting at home, 8 o'clock, Wednesday night. You know what? This old rerun of Dallas looks good. Is In the Kitchen with David playing tonight? Let's watch In the Kitchen with David. Like, I can't see myself doing that. Game 4, okay, fine. If it's a 3-0 and it could be a sweep, I could see that. I really could. Watching something else, maybe you guys want to catch up on something on Netflix. My wife's been watching The Handmaid's Tale like crazy. Maybe you're into that. I don't know. But a Game 7, the whole shooting match, and I'm not exactly Pierre Maguire over here. I was watching hockey on Wednesday night. 855-212-4CBS. Kawhi needs to stay. You can't leave a winner. LeBron didn't even leave a winner. Kevin Durant didn't even leave a winner. Kevin Durant might have been set up to leave a winner. More of that coming up here in a little bit. I know that it might not be a dynasty. I know that you have a chance, and it might be the end of the dynasty. It was with Golden State. It might be all together done, and you might not have something special after this. But I want to beg, and I mean beg, Kawhi Leonard to stay. Because what it's been already, it's been a great run. It's been a good storybook. It's been a good story. Coming back from where Toronto was last year, you fire the coach of the year in Dwayne Casey. There's a lot of people saying to blow it up. It's a 55-win team last year? People are saying to blow the thing up. Nope, we're going to make this run. We'll trade DeMar DeRozan. We'll make this run. We'll see what we can do with this. We're going to bring in Kawhi Leonard. We know that we might not have a great shot to hold on to him, but we're good, fine, hospitable Canadian folks, and we'll see if we can make a run with this. I know everybody's picking Boston. I know everybody's picking Milwaukee. I know everybody's picking somebody else on the West Coast. We're going to take a run at this, and then you actually do it. And for Kawhi, the only thing I can do is beg. Because I don't want to have happen in Toronto, and the best examples are personal experience. I don't want to have happen in Toronto what's happened where I'm at. Because I'm a bigger, of the top three sports, my personal fandom here in Cleveland, I've always had the softest spot for the Cavaliers over the other two. It just seemed that when I was a kid, and the Cavaliers sucked, and they suck again, when the Cavaliers sucked, people loved the Indians. The Indians were good. The Browns were just about to leave and then were coming back. There was a lot of thought where my dad wasn't a big basketball fan, didn't care for basketball. He used to walk by in the living room and see me watching the Cavaliers and used to go, "Why are you watching this garbage? My God." And so I felt bad for the Cavaliers. And so I used to watch them. And when they win a championship 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the place is going nuts. Everybody's loving it. And then LeBron leaves 2 years later. Leaves a team that's gone to the finals 2 years in a row, but hasn't won the finals, and 4 years in a row, but the last two finals after the championship, goes, loses, then goes off to L.A. And immediately some of the calls start coming in. A vocal minority, but a vocal minority. Oh, the championship didn't mean much. It's a Browns town. It's the way it is. Ken, if you don't like it, you got to accept it. I don't care if you like it or not. It's the same words as Macho Man. I don't want to have that happen in Toronto like that's happened here, because that's frustrating. I think Cleveland's a really good sports town. Obviously, I live here and I love it. But it does bother me when we get calls from some of the guys in the suburbs and some of the guys who say that they were real big Cavs fans when they were just looking onto something to latch onto, but really either just wanted to tolerate the Cleveland Cavaliers as a chance to celebrate a championship and to see what it was like, but really were waiting for the Browns and Indians to get their act together. And now that the Browns are maybe on their way, and maybe the Indians are on their way down, but still were a competitive ball club for a long time, they hooked more into those teams than what they had into the Cavaliers, and it seems like they didn't celebrate the championship quite like a world's championship over one of the greatest teams in NBA history should be celebrated. I don't want to see that happen in Toronto like what's that's happened here. You beat Golden State. I know you're a hockey town. I know that you're all Leafs fans. I know that the Leafs are number one. I get it. I understand it. The Browns are number one here. But if Kawhi leaves, don't think for a second that that vocal minority won't get in again. You can say it's untarnished. It is untarnished. It is true. And there won't be as many people as what you imagine, but it will happen. And I want to beg Kawhi Leonard to stay there for all those reasons. Because if Kawhi stays, there's plenty of good reasons why Kawhi could stay and things could be better. You could repeat. You could put down roots. You could still compete. Toronto's a great city. You could become an icon in that area. You're a humble, fun player that kids seem to like, that parents seem to like, regular NBA fans seem to like. You're an interesting person because we like to tell stories about your mystique and about eating 12 apples at a dinner party. You become the biggest star in one of the biggest cities in North America. You start to become, dare I say, and some people in Canada will take this the wrong way, dare I say you start to become a Canadian icon, especially if you go back and win another NBA championship or put your team in the finals some more. And I think you make the NBA a little bit better for everybody else. Even though I know that that's not on his thought. He needs to think about himself personally and what he's going to do for his own business. I get all that. But I think that if Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto, Toronto becomes a competitive team, or stays a competitive team, obviously, stays a dominant competitive team for a long time, then you have something for Giannis to shoot for. Then you have something for Boston to still shoot for. If the Knicks ever get their act together, you have something for them to shoot for. You become the big dog in the East. If Golden State stays together, maybe Kevin Durant feels the love from Bob Myers, then we have another rivalry possibly set up here. The comeback story with Kevin Durant, the comeback story with Klay Thompson. Golden State possibly there, or Houston figuring their way out. Portland lying in the weeds. Russell Westbrook wants to desperately bring Oklahoma City to fruition, a world championship basketball, so we can finally get the monkey off his back and the blame game with him and Kevin Durant away so he can go and finally be excited about NBA basketball again. Kawhi can do all that. If Kawhi leaves, if you go to the Clippers, I have to admit, weather's better in L.A. I can't go against that. The lifestyle, maybe a little bit better in L.A. You can go get lost in the hills if you want to. If you play for the Clippers, though, you got to have that pressure to compete. You still play for the second team in the Staples Center. The pressure of overcoming and taking the Clippers to the next level and overcoming the L.A. Lakers. Taking them to a promised land for a great owner, but a very, very powerful, pressurized owner in Steve Ballmer. And then if the other question, if he were to go to the Lakers, which I would not be able to stand, if you were to go to the Lakers and play for LeBron, again, not with LeBron, LeBron would be the one who gets the credit. He brought you there. And while you would have the stats, unless LeBron, God forbid, gets hurt in an NBA playoff run, LeBron's the one who gets the credit. He's the bigger icon. He's the bigger star. You're quiet. You might be loved by the regular man, but LeBron is all-encompassing. So it becomes more about LeBron than it does you, where your own star is already put there. And then you have to deal with the bus family. You have to deal with ownership. I'm sure Magic's still going to be walking around the bowels of the arena for crying out loud. There's so many things there that go against you if you go with the Lakers. If you go with Toronto, yeah, I know, it gets oppressively cold probably 9 months out of the year. I get it. Still a beautiful city with beautiful people. Still a beautiful area. They're fine folks up there, even though Twitter didn't want to give them credit the other day because a couple of fans booed about the injury or were excited about the injury with Kevin Durant. More on that coming up later. Still a great group of people up there who will celebrate greatness and obviously be thankful that you chose them. They'll follow you through a brick wall. You'll be an icon in an entire country. You'll have a chance to do it again. You'll be the base of an organization that has thirsted for winning since the very first days. Something that Vince Carter couldn't provide, or Chris Bosh, or Tracy McGrady. You're the guy who provided it. I desperately want Kawhi Leonard to stay with the Toronto Raptors. I don't know how good the chance is. I can't say the chance is great. But you did it your way in a new city with people who just love you. And if you leave, instead of being the type of NBA basketball team that's remembered, I wonder if you're a comet across the sky. I wonder if you become more Detroit in 04 instead of what the Toronto Raptors should be with a guy like Kawhi Leonard. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Jason in Louisiana, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. How you doing today, sir?
Jason, horrible. Go ahead, my friend.
You and me both. I'm at work. I just want to say this. As a Spurs fan, I couldn't root for Kawhi there at first because of this whole situation, and then I got to learn more and more about it. You know, for the city of Toronto, this means a lot. And for something to mean so much to a team like that, just basically being placed together and mm-hmm. having to figure out the chemistry in itself is just phenomenal. But if you go back and you look at it, the whole thing about this situation is, with Golden State, I just felt like Durant was the hero. And when he went down, it kind of changed up everything. And the simple fact for people to honestly sit here and say, you know, well, it was because of injuries that Toronto won. You know, if you think about it and you go back and you look at Game 1, Game 1, they had the original core of a Golden State Warriors that actually beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, to win their first championship.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Toronto dominated that first game was you couldn't explain it because it's Golden State. They have the best defenders. They have the best pure shooters, and Stephen Curry, honestly.
Hey, Jason, I can make it simple. I can make it real simple because I'm up against it. I went into a deep dive in the very open of the show. Let me ask anybody this. Who was favored at the beginning of the series? It was still Golden State. And Kevin Durant, there were people who assumed Kevin Durant weren't going to play. And also, remember, Klay Thompson out for Game 3, where there's the conversation they were playing the long game going, we can get by with Game 3. Klay Thompson will be okay to come back for Game 4. So I'm not going to sit there and subscribe to any, and I agree with you, Jason, and thank you very much for the call. I'm not going to sit there and subscribe to any sort of conversation about asterisks or any of the stuff, well, if Kevin Durant was there. All right, yeah, if Kevin Durant was there, I can't say it wouldn't have changed the series. However, he wasn't there, and I'm not going to take away from what Toronto did. You're the victor. It's pro sports. The spoils are supposed to go to you. The trophy's in your trophy case, not theirs. Up next, Sam Amico, about free agency, about the NBA Finals, about what Kawhi could do. Stay with us. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, the number for CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. You can go to Geico. Go to Geico.com and in 15 minutes you can save 15% on car insurance. I mean, it is incredible how quickly you could save money. I want you to wait 15 minutes, though, because I want you to hear this interview. Joining us right now on the show, Sam Amico, AmicoHoops.net. Find him on Twitter, at AmicoHoops. He joins us right now to talk about NBA free agency, talk about the NBA World's Championship, and that the Toronto Raptors won it. Sam, thanks for joining us today, friend.
Ken, thanks for having me. Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice. I've missed you greatly, and I do sincerely mean that, brother. Can I ask you something? I've made the argument now for an hour and 40 minutes that there should be no asterisk next to the Toronto Raptors championship. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. there really is no asterisk next to any champion. You win a championship, that's all you care about. And you know, you talk about injuries, which we've heard about with the Cavaliers before in 2015 and the Warriors this year. This goes on throughout history. In 1988 or 9, when the Detroit Pistons beat Magic Johnson's Lakers, and Magic didn't play in that series. I don't think James Worthy played in that series because of injury. They truly are part of the game, and it really does show you why and how it's so hard for a team like the Warriors to win three straight championships. That's why teams typically don't do it, because your body has to last from October until the end of June, or the middle of June, every season. So it's just tough to win three titles when and hold up in this league, because there's so many games and they've got to do it for so long. You need some luck.
Do you want Kawhi Leonard to stay in Golden State, or are you of the belief, he's a sentient being, he can make his own decisions, and we'll have fun regardless?
I think he's going to make his own decision, but I think he is staying with Toronto. I think that, I've heard from around the league, and it's been reported a couple times that he's probably going to sign a shorter-term deal to remain with the Raptors, maybe a two-year deal with a third-year ability to opt out. But, I'm always for, and this is just personal preference, I'm always for guys staying where they are. I think it's better for the fan base. I think it's better for the league in general. It creates a competitive balance. And, I think, hey, you win a championship, what more do you want? They can pay you more than anybody else if you just won a title. To me, it would make the most sense if he were to remain there. But free agency is free agency, and as we've seen in the NBA, there's never any telling what might happen.
Well, that's a great thing, and I've never seen a player pull the rug out from under himself. What are the chances that they could repeat in 2020, the Toronto Raptors? Because I think I got a sneaking suspicion here, but go right on ahead.
Yeah, listen, so much is going to happen this summer, either one way or the other. If nobody leaves or nobody goes anywhere, which is a possibility, you have to think the Toronto Raptors are the favorite going into the season. They've got the experience, and now that they've got the championship win, they've, you know, that which is invaluable, that experience. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Serge Ibaka, all of these guys now have won a championship, know what it is, and are going to be more confident going into next season. And you put Kawhi Leonard around that team, or that team around Kawhi Leonard, and yeah, you've got an excellent shot. But everybody who said before this season, Ken, well, the NBA is no fun when you know who's going to win it all. And I understood people thinking that. We all thought, okay, the Warriors are winning it all, no question.
Uh-huh.
This should be a life lesson, is that you never guarantee anything. And anybody who thinks that way is really going to enjoy next season, because there's going to be 5-6 teams without Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson for the majority of the season. There's going to be 5-6 teams that have a real shot at the championship next year.
Oh, there's actual parity there. You're right. Sam Amico joining us on the show, AmicoHoops.net. Follow him on Twitter, at AmicoHoops. Well, say if Kawhi left after this year, it's one championship, I don't think I'd put Toronto back in that mix again. Could I make the argument then? And would it justify the Kevin Durant argument where, if Kevin Durant wasn't there, you wouldn't have won the championship, and Kawhi was already gone anyway, so he knew you didn't really have much outside of him?
Well, you could make the argument, yeah, if you take the best player off any team, you could say they wouldn't be winning the title. But as far as Golden State goes, that's going to be a very interesting situation too, Ken, because Durant's out for the year probably. I mean, if he comes back, it's going to be next June. You know, and who knows if he'll be the same player, and who knows if he'll even resign there. You know, he's going to get offered the max from everybody. So what's happening with Golden State is, if Durant should resign there, Klay Thompson is going to resign there by all accounts, including his own dad. They're going to have their two of their three best players on the sidelines for the entire year, and not be able to have any room to wiggle room under the salary cap to sign anybody else. So, you may be seeing Golden State next year, that the end of this dynasty, so-called dynasty, you may see them next year celebrating like Jackie Moon in semi-pro and saying, you know, hey, we won fourth place. You know, I mean, that's, they're going to have a really tough season next year because they're going to be handcuffed salary cap-wise and not have two of the three best guys. I don't know if that answered your question. I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, that's fine. No, because it leads me into the next one because of Kevin Durant. Do you think that – does he feel the love now? Bob Myers openly weeps in the press conference about Kevin Durant where there was almost – where it seemed that they made him a scapegoat up until then. Does he feel the love and reconsider staying in the Bay Area, or is it just a programmatic non-fit now?
That's a great question. That really is a great question. You know, you would think,
damn right. Thank God.
I'm pretty sure that Kevin Durant decided on his own, I'm going to play. But, you know, I think that there was some pressure from the organization that said, look, we feel that you're okay to be out there, and he wanted to play, so they gave him the go-ahead and said, yeah, let's do this. And as long as he feels like he's gotten the support, but I, you know, from the organization, I think that he would be willing to return. It's going to be very interesting to see who, you know, the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, Golden State, who's going to offer him the max deal, and he's, you know, you're paying him next year $38 million for a red shirt. And who knows what it'll be like when he comes back at 32 years old, coming off Achilles surgery. I mean, we saw DeMarcus Cousins was not the same. Kobe Bryant was not the same. It's going to be very interesting. I still think Kevin Durant will be very good. I think most people throughout the league think Kevin Durant will be very good. But, Ken, I mean, you're talking 32 years old, Achilles surgery.
Yeah.
He could be top 20. You know, he may not be top 5 anymore. He may be top 20.
Wow.
And there's a lot to think about if you're the Golden State Warriors or New York Knicks or whoever offers him the max. I think you got to be careful because we saw the Lakers did that with Kobe Bryant, and they have not recovered since.
So did Thursday mean that that it's Kawhi Leonard's league now?
I think so. I think so. You're the best player on the best team, you know, and look, I don't know that anybody else could have won a championship with that Raptors squad. I think you had to have the perfect all-star, you know, and he really was. He really fits there, and he really knows how to win big games and come through in big moments, and he's just amazing. I mean, if you remember just watching that game in the first half, I was like, where's Kawhi Leonard? He's not here. He didn't show up. And then the second half, the guy just does everything right, and I just think, yeah, you know, people don't want to put him in the same class with LeBron James and Durant and those guys, but and I think that's because he's very stoic, as we know. His personality is not, he's not flashy, but I think he's right there with those guys. I really do.
Sam Amico with us on the show. Check out his website, amicohoops.net. Where's Kyrie going to end up?
You know, I would have said Boston before, but I think it's going to be Brooklyn now. I think that he's been, you know, signing with Roc Nation, with Jay-Z, which has the ties to the Nets. I just think that the more I get to know Kyrie and see what he's doing, I just think he lives in a land of discontent. He always wants to be somewhere else, but
yeah,
he had a really good situation. So I think he will. I think he'll go to the Nets.
What about Anthony Davis? Where's he going to end up?
I almost think New York. I really do. I think that David Griffin is the Pelicans GM is using some of these other offers from the Lakers and Boston to kind of drive up the price. I think the Knicks could offer him the number 3 pick. They don't have the young players that some of the other people do, but I think that Griff, you know, might end up liking that deal best because the Knicks could get a third team involved, and then Griff would get some more picks and young players that the Knicks don't have. But this is a wild guess, you know. He's really negotiating, having a lot of conversations with the Lakers and the Celtics, and I think the Clippers could possibly sneak in there too, but. I think the Knicks are going to be a dark horse in that with a 3-team trade. Chicago's getting involved. as a third team in that, and they have a lot of young stuff to offer. So I think that it's a long shot for him to go to any team at this point because they're still talking. But if I had to take a wild guess, I would just think
is trading how much of a nuclear option is trading LeBron? Is that even possible?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Lakers, I would certainly consider it. I think that they did think about it. Jeannie Buss thought about it, but I don't think you can do it. I don't think you'll get back what you know. You won't get back his value in a deal, and you certainly are going to have a hard time making money work and get back his value. And at the same time, if I'm, say, the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't want to give away my young assets for, you know, a guy who's going to be, what, 34, 35 years within the next year. I wouldn't want to do that. Other than if I think I just want to sell tickets for 2 years. That's all I care about.
That's the only thing. Sam, that's the only thing. If you're trying to win, I think that there's no way I'd trade for him. I know that he's him and he's an icon. The assets, everything you have to give up, everything that comes with him, he's a siren song now. I hate to say it. At 35, you have to prove it to me because now there's an injury, and now I start to wonder if that's going to start to mount because he's played at such a high level for so long. Sam, I thank you very much for joining us. All the best to you, my friend. I hope to talk to you again on this show very, very soon.
Thanks for having me, Ken, and it was a pleasure to visit with you.
I love you. Sam Amico joining us on the show, AmicoHoops.net, at Amico Hoops on Twitter. I'm dead serious about that. 35 years old, I know there's good basketball left. Is there that competitive basketball left, though? Because people close to Jeannie Buss are saying to trade LeBron. Okay, I can understand that. I can understand where they're doing that. Maybe they want to get out of that investment. There's no no-trade clause. But if you're one of these other teams, if you really want to compete, if you're trading for LeBron, I'm just going to point it out, I think you just want to sell tickets, which is possibly what an owner wants to do. But if you really want to compete, you're either still in L.A. If you're trading for him, I don't think you're going to get there. You have to restart that whole thing, and now you're working against Father Time. I think it's almost impossible. 855-212-4CBS, five burning questions in just over 20. Up next, I said 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. It'll be better for Baker to just keep his opinions to his teammates.